This show is for educational purposes only. Please remember to consult an accountant, attorney, and any other real estate professionals before making any real estate investing decisions. And now... Welcome to Get Real, the real estate investing show for the rest of us. I'm Judson Voss.
And I'm Lynn Voss.
We got a pretty cool show today, a little bit different than usual. You know, we're always talking about hammering this and nailing that and sort of the details of the technical part of real estate investing.
Uh-huh.
But there's a huge part of, you know, running any type of business,
right,
or doing something different than what you're doing today.
Uh-huh.
And that's the mental attitude part.
Right, getting your head where it should be.
Yeah. So Leah's on. She's going to talk to us a little bit about getting your mind where it needs to be,
mm-hmm,
getting some of those negative thoughts out, and so you can get started, so
right,
you can actually take action.
Right.
That's the cool part.
Right. Then we're going to walk you through an investment opportunity that we looked at this weekend in our Dare to be Dumb segment, and kind of, mm-hmm, tell you what we saw and what we look for when we're looking at houses to buy.
Yep. And also, just want to let you know the upcoming shows, remind you that there is no regular show next week.
Right.
But probably better for everybody listening is we have Pete Youngs.
Right.
And Pete is going to be talking about rehabbing houses,
mm-hmm,
saving money on them, how to find contractors, all that stuff that even if you're not going to, you know, fix them up and sell them, somewhere along the way, most people that invest in real estate still need to have those techniques and tools down to be successful.
Just to know what needs to be done.
Yeah, even if you're just going to be a landlord.
Right.
And that's it.
Uh-huh.
You still need all that information. So Pete's going to be doing about an hour and a half next week just on that stuff.
And
so that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, and that show will come out next Monday.
Yep.
In place of our regular show. So.
That's right. So everybody, hopefully, will have a good Thanksgiving.
Yep. Why don't you remind everybody about the website?
Okay. Just to keep in mind that we have the email list there. So if you go out to our website, it's, mm-hmm, www.getreal.com.
Okay.
And when you go to the site, right there on the front page, there's some wording about, you know, not missing something, and then you just put your name and your email address in the box and hit submit, and you'll get it. The first thing you'll get is a thank you note from us, along with some files and links attached to it to some freebies from the show, including a transcript from Brandon a while back about talking about taxes and,
uh-huh,
entity structure for taxes.
Right.
I'm trying to remember what else is there.
The Dazzle Your Banker.
Dazzle Your Banker book. There's a nice Adobe ebook in there for that.
Right.
And a couple other freebies that go along with that. The other thing, though, that's new as of last week, and I forgot to tell people last week, so I'm sorry, is we used to put the show notes out into the feed so you can go to the blog page and get it.
Right.
But it just got to be crazy having to do it in three different places.
Uh-huh.
So it's just a one place now. It's in our weekly newsletter. So if you don't sign up for the email list, you won't get the... you're used to seeing as the show notes.
You get an abridged show notes.
Yeah, very abridged show
notes.
Right. So, yeah, if you're used to getting that, make sure you go out there and sign up for the email list.
Uh-huh.
And that'll be sent to you then also.
And it doesn't cost you anything, and we aren't selling your name or anything
no.
to anybody. We
no.
just want it so that you get automatic updates on when there's new shows.
It's just easier to communicate. It's going to have the link in there to download the show if you don't just... automatically get it from iTunes.
Right.
There'll be a link in there for that.
Right.
And then once in a while, there's a few special offers and stuff like that in there too to help you out.
Okay. And let's remind everybody that if they have questions or comments, that they can send those to GetRealShow, mm-hmm, at GetRealREI.com. Or if they have a specific question or comment for either one of us, it would be Judson or Lynn at GetRealREI.com.
Yep. And also want to remind everybody, just one last housekeeping note here. We're still working on the website,
uh-huh,
so make sure you send us a note for any ideas for the new website. We've had a lot of great ideas, but I'm sure there's a few more out there.
And we're going to implement as many as we can. So,
yep.
And again, this is the time.
Right. Like we talked about, the point of this website is not for just us to get our information out there. It's a place for everybody to interact that listens to the show,
mm-hmm,
and help each other out in their real estate investing.
Right. So that we won't have to be the only ones answering these email questions. Everybody else can help out with that, too.
That's right. So we had some great emails this week.
Speaking of emails.
That's right. And the first one is from Steve. Steve's in California. And he's talking about buying what I assumed were rental properties without putting a drain on his personal savings.
Okay.
And I can understand that if you're putting 20% down on every property, then, mm-hmm. you know, pretty
you're
quickly.
You're going to run out of 20%.
Yeah, that'll add up pretty quick. That's right. So, you know, there's different ways, I guess, right, to do that.
Sure.
The first one is mortgage fraud. You can always inflate the price.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Don't please, do it.
Don't send me emails. We have a mortgage fraud thing coming up in a minute. Don't send me emails. Well, you know, one thing is no money down deals.
Mm-hmm.
And people always say, well, they aren't out there and that kind of thing. I don't remember the last time we put money down on a house.
I was going to say.
Well, we did a couple months ago. It wasn't much. It was like closing costs.
Right.
But normally we don't, because we were trying to buy the houses at a discount,
mm-hmm.
at a price that is a good price to actually buy the house and rehab it and then get it ready to either sell or rent.
Right.
Because our rental properties too, we don't put money down on.
No.
But to do that, you can't, well, maybe you can. We haven't run across a situation yet where the house was in perfect condition and somebody was just willing to let it go for a small amount.
Right.
So, you know, you have to look for houses with issues, first of all.
Yeah.
To get a good deal.
Right.
But the other thing that you have to do, at least for us, what we found is you have to go into it with the rehab, because it's easier to get a loan on a rehab than it is to get 100% loan from a conventional lender for an investment property.
That's something that doesn't need work.
Right. So, you know, we use a construction loan. If you get a hard money loan, whatever, you go in there and you get the house for whatever, 70% with repairs of mm-hmm. the after repaired value.
Right.
So maybe 50% of what the house would be worth fixed up.
That's
is what
your
you get it for,
price.
Plus 20% for closing costs and repairs.
Right.
Now you're at 70%. Right. And there's a lot of lenders out there that'll give you money to do that.
Right.
With no money out of your pocket.
Right.
Then once you get the house fixed up, and this is the important part,
mm-hmm.
then you refi out of it.
Right.
And you can either refi it at exactly that 70%. If you do that, you're going to have to come up with your own closing costs. You can do it for a little bit more to cover your closing mm-hmm. costs. You can do an 80% cash out refi. So the difference between the 70 and 80%, say it's a $100,000 house, you'll get 10 grand in your pocket.
Right.
There's all different ways to do it and all different reasons you want to do it one way or the other. But, you know, we won't go into that now. We'll get a mortgage broker on to talk about it. But the key is here that, you know, you've gotten through that situation without really taking any money out of your savings.
Right. And part of the key with that is to get the rehab done as quickly and as smoothly as you can, so that you're not paying that high interest every month, so that you can get to the refi and get your regular, more normal interest rates once you refinance it, instead of paying that 12 or 15% interest that you're going to pay for your hard money or your construction loan. So,
and I guess the other key to this is, if you're going to do this,
mm-hmm.
that's great. Make sure that if you're going to keep it as a rental,
right.
make sure the property cash flows.
Right.
I mean, sure, you don't have to. I mean, there's people that don't. We've got a neighbor, a friend of theirs that bought investment properties at the ocean, and they lose $400 a month with the assumption that it's going to go up in value over time. And 3 years from now, they're going to sell it for 100 grand. And that's great if it works that way. And
100 grand more.
Yeah.
Not 100 grand. 100 grand, grand more.
Yeah. And that's great if it works that way, because if you do the math, that's not a bad investment.
Right.
But if it doesn't work that way, it really sucks.
And we don't like to lose $400 a month on anything.
Yeah, that's not in our plan. And like Steve said, he's looking for a way that not to drain his savings.
Right.
So, you know, after you go through this whole thing and you've got all this money and you've refined and everything, that's great. But make sure it cash flows after that.
Right.
Because if you want to do it that way and you want to buy the next house after that, we had a few emails this week about that, is how do people buy all these houses?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way they do it is it's a good investment. Mortgage brokers, business lenders, anybody lends money on good investments.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's making money, they'll lend you money because they realize the only thing that has to happen to make this work out is you have to be able to manage your money.
Right.
So if you've got constant cash flow coming in, you can cover that bill. And as long as you actually pay the bill, that's a decent risk for them.
Right.
Now, if it's losing money every month, why would they want to lend money on that?
Right. And I think we've talked about this a little bit, but remember, when you go to look at that next deal or when the bank is actually looking at your deals and evaluating whether it's cash flowing or not, they are only going to count 75% of your rental income towards right. your actual income.
Yep.
So if it rents for $1,000 a month, they're only going to count 750 of that as income to you. So mm-hmm. if your mortgage payment is less than $750, then you're still in the black, according to the bank. If your mortgage payment is $800 a month, then you're losing $50 a month, according to the bank. Yeah. So you have to keep that in mind, too, the way they're going to look at it.
But as long as you're in the black or you're breaking even,
then you're fine.
Then you're good, because the bank's going to let you get that next loan because they don't count that against your
right.
debt to income
ratio. Right. Yep.
So that's how people get more and more mortgages. Now,
right.
you know, banks are going to have limits on how many mortgages they give to each individual.
Right.
But it's not a limit of, hey, you can't afford this anymore.
Right. And I think Wendy Sweet talked about that on one of her shows that she was on about mm-hmm. how many loans you can get from specific lending companies. So
okay.
All right. Next, we had Steve in Kansas, and he wants to know, what information do we look for when we go to the courthouse?
And I guess this could be different in different places.
Right.
You know, keep in mind, every state has different foreclosure laws.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, the timing and everything is different everywhere. But go ahead. You're the one that puts the sheet together.
Well, we try to gather as much information as we possibly can because it just makes it easier when we're moving forward. So mm-hmm. we look for the name of the property owner, the property address, the original date that the mortgage was taken out. We're in a deed to trust state, but the original date that was taken out, the original amount that was taken out for, the trustee attorney. There may be situations where we need to call them to find out maybe what the opening bid price is going to be or that kind of thing. So we look for the attorney. And we always write down the special proceeding number because for us, that's an easy reference for the file. That's the file numbers, really, when we get there. And then we can call the courthouse in a lot of cases and gather information from them based on that special proceeding number. Trying to think if there's anything else. Can you think of anything else?
No, I think that's okay. Most of it right there.
Okay. And the reasons we look for that kind of stuff is just because if we know what the original mortgage amount was, then and when it was taken out, then that tells us a whole lot about whether there's some equity in that property. The other thing is, if it's a house that we know to be worth $250,000 and the loan is for $75,000, then we kind of have an inkling of an idea that that's probably a second mortgage. And that's not as interesting to us as the first mortgages because you still got to go through a lot more hoops with the second mortgages. So there's some things, those are the things that we look for.
Okay. And this one's a little bit different note than we usually talk about, but Kimberly from Illinois sent me an email talking about rehab scams.
Uh-huh.
And we thought we'd let everybody know this just as a public service announcement. You know, things like this go on out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group, and I've heard of this happening in other places too. I remember Denver had something like this not too long ago with drug dealers.
Okay.
This is, in this case, it's a gang. I assume they're doing this for drug money.
Okay.
But what they do is they put together a rehab company.
All right.
And a mortgage broker.
Uh-huh.
And they go out and buy these houses or properties of any type.
Okay.
And they're in bad shape.
Right.
Dilapidated houses.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they go and they find somebody that wants to be an investor.
Uh-huh.
And they have them invest in the property. So they say, here, you know, here's the deal. It costs $50,000. It's worth $100,000. Needs $20,000 of repairs. Great deal. You make $30,000 off of it.
Okay.
Which is perfectly
sounds
fine.
Normal, you know, numbers sound right.
Mm-hmm. People do this every day. It's called wholesaling.
Yeah.
Well, what these guys are doing is they're being fraudulent.
Okay.
Through the mortgage broker, usually through an appraiser. Some other people, they're jacking up the price.
Okay.
So they're saying it's worth 100. It's really worth 45.
Okay.
They get you to pay 50 for it, but you're paying them, you know, 70.
Okay.
And all the extra money, that inflated price,
mm-hmm.
they pocket and they walk away with. They're using fake attorneys and stuff like that too.
Okay.
So that they get out of that with the money. Now, what happens is you're stuck with a house that you've paid more for than what it's really worth.
Right.
And it's
in terrible shape.
Yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the moral of that story is not look out for people like this. The moral that to that story to me is do your due diligence.
Do your homework.
There's no way that if you walked into this situation and you come across a house that's only worth 50 repaired,
mm-hmm.
and you're still paying 50 for it, there's no way you look to see how much that house is worth.
Right.
So, you know, it's great to use services out there. It's great to use wholesalers. You know, if you don't want to go out and have to find the houses yourself.
Right.
But you got to do your own homework.
You got to go walk the property. You got to check the comps and talk with people that are knowledgeable. I mean, even if you have to bring a realtor into it to give you a comparative market analysis so that you know. But if you look at it, you should be able to know fairly simply that this is fraud. And it's a scam.
But just a note out there that it does happen, so make sure you keep an eye out on things
that. So be on the lookout.
Yep. And just because the person selling it to you brings you somebody else that also is telling you what the price is worth, like a mortgage broker.
That doesn't
yeah. Get your own person. not two of their people. That doesn't count.
Right. Okay.
So what's the last email we had? It was Jason in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
I was speaking of Denver. He wanted to give us a follow-up, and I really appreciate it. Last week, our website of the week mm-hmm. was the Microsoft Accounting 2007,
okay.
which we started to use, and it's great. Got a couple little problems, one of which is our Wachovia account doesn't link up with
transfer.
It correctly. You know, they've got 65,000 banks out there, and Wachovia is not one of them. Anyways, they'll work on it. I'm sure they'll get it fixed. I'm sure they'll change that. But Jason wanted to let us know that even the Express version is free.
Mm-hmm.
The Pro version, I think, is $149.
Okay.
Again, we aren't getting any money from Microsoft, but if you're listening, you might want to send us some.
We won't send it back.
Yeah. But you can get a 120-day trial version of the Pro version for no charge.
Okay.
So if you want to use it for 4 months on the Pro version.
To check it out.
Yeah, you can give that a shot and check it out. It does some things, like it has multiple users. So uh-huh. it doesn't just have to be installed on one computer and one person using it. So you can do that. But thank you, Jason, for that update on that. So we have Leah Kraft-Christain with us here today. And Leah, you're busy. Yeah, I mean, you do a lot of different things, don't you? You've written 9 books. You build houses.
That's right.
You give seminars all over the world.
Right.
And on top of that, because that's just not enough stuff for one person to do, you've been a practicing attorney, and you've had a show on CNN as a broadcaster before.
That's right. I've left the practice of law behind. That was easy.
I can understand that.
I'm really enjoying everything I'm doing now. This is so tremendous.
Cool.
Made a huge change in my life a few years back.
Okay.
And you have a TV special that's coming up on PBS soon, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that later.
Yes.
And then you've also released a new home study program called Quantum Leap Your Life.
Absolutely. It's really interesting. I created Quantum Leap Your Life in July, right around my birthday. And what's just amazing to me, when I landed upon that title, I realized that's what I have been doing in the last several years. I've been making quantum leaps. But since I've written that and created it, I have been seeing even greater quantum leaps in my life. It's amazing. It's almost as if time is compressing. Just when your mind says, oh, it should take this long to get from here to here, suddenly I'm there in one-tenth of the time.
That's so cool.
It really got me amazed, too.
Yeah, because one thing that we don't have enough of is definitely time.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that time is one of those things for a lot of people that discourage them, not only in looking at how much time it should take them from where they are now to where they want to be, but people allow themselves to get down by just simply looking at how old they are. I mean, I remember being 29 and thinking I was really old, you know, over the hill and had made all the wrong choices and really messed up in my life. And then I get to be a little older and I look at that and think, 29? If only somebody had told me, you are just a baby, kid,
just a
shut up.
At that point.
Yeah. I know that feeling.
So now you've got your book, The 30 Days to Happiness. And yes. I just want to know what being happy has to do with making quantum leaps.
It has everything to do with it. And so, therefore, the number one quest of everyone should be to feel better. Wherever they are, you don't have to feel ecstatic. You don't even have to feel happy. You just need to focus on feeling better, because if you feel better, your dreams and what you dare to have as a goal are going to expand. And when that happens, you know that old thing about how a task expands to fill the time mm-hmm. allowed? Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing is true about a dream or a goal. If you set it big, it's going to be filled in with all kinds of color and action. You have to dream it. And I see people, when they're not happy, they don't dare to dream. As I've been teaching all over the world, that's exactly what I see. And the other thing, a couple of other things that being happy has to do with quantum leaping, is that when you feel better, when you feel a little bit better, when you lift up, you start believing that maybe life isn't so bad. Maybe things can work out right. Maybe people are good, and maybe things can happen for you that you didn't believe in before, or maybe you got down in the mouth after believing it and you had to turn yourself around. But you most definitely think better of what is going on here when you're feeling better. And finally, the last thing it affects, and it's possibly the most important thing, is who you think you are, your self-image. Your self-image lifts up and you start feeling better about what possibly life can bring to you and what you're worthy of, what you deserve, and you start lifting your energy. And that's the thing you need more than anything else, not just the physical energy, which you do need, but you need emotional energy, you need mental energy, you need creative energy. So happiness affects all of it. It is the foundation. And happiness is something that we all can learn. I know that from my own life.
So it's not something that you're born with.
I certainly wasn't born with it. I really had to work on myself so hard to turn around my natural inclination to be incredibly pessimistic about just about everything. And that not only had to do with my basic body-brain chemistry, which I found out about later, but it also had to do with the family I was born into. One side of the family was hot-blooded Mediterranean who were still really up in arms and shouting about things that happened 30 years ago. and the other side of the family was in the northern part of Europe, and they were really affected by the Depression, and they were some of those people that, well, a lot of people say phrases that came from the Depression. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Which is a very negative, debilitating statement that we have in our culture. And that's something that I talk about in my television program, by the way. But I think it's really important that people pay attention to that. And instead of repeating those things as if they're words of wisdom, people need to look at them and say, that is a crock. Or that is the worst possible thing you could say to yourself.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
So I grew up with all that around me, and I had to learn how to stop having my first inclination be a negative expectation. I had to really work on myself, and frankly, I really, really did the work on myself in my late 20s. My mom had just died of cancer. She was really, really young, and right about that time, I had a huge, everything changed in my life. I made it all change. I quit practicing law, and I left my marriage, and I left the house that I had designed, and I just massively changed everything in my life. And went to live in a windowless basement apartment and got very, very down. And I thought if I let go of all those things I was blaming for my unhappiness, I would suddenly become happy. Wrong. It was the patterns in my mind. It was the habits that I used to think with. And it was all those things I did not know that I had to grab myself by the shirt collar and say, no, you're not. Get over here. Because my habits of thinking were leading to my habits of emotion. And I had to really understand that clearly, that it was what I was thinking that it was dragging me into an emotional pit. And I started turning that around. I had actually an inspiration one morning. It was almost as if I was visited by an angel. I have to tell you that. That's exactly what it was like. I woke up one morning. I didn't want to get out of bed for the 30th morning or more. And this voice basically was like it was right next to me. And it basically shouted at me, "Leah, get a grip." And I thought, do angels talk this way? And it really said, use what you know. You know, when we are in our right minds, when we're calm, when we're relaxed, we know all the stuff we need to know about being positive, about being optimistic, about turning things around, about handling things, about reacting normally. But when we get tired, when we're stressed out, when too many things come at us too quickly that we don't expect, suddenly we forget everything we know that can help us.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. People are very, very bright. People know these things. But what I do is I remind people of what they know.
Okay.
So let me ask you this. You've got your book, 30 Days to Happiness.
Yeah.
How does that make people happier? I mean, what's the formula there?
Because it's a step-by-step program, it actually starts at the beginning and says, look, you can read this in 4 or 5 minutes, and then here's what you have to do today. And it is absolutely guaranteed that if you walk yourself through those 30 steps, you will never again be able to get as far down as you have been in the past. In fact, eventually, your lowest low will be about where your highest high was in the past. I know that because I get letters from all over the world. It's a new way of looking at yourself. It's a new way of looking at life. It's a new way of understanding how to handle yourself. That's where it's coming from. It's not handling life. It's handling you. So that is part of the reason that this process works. Is that it is a step-by-step guide, and it's quick and simple, and I've put it on audio, so people can listen to it on the way to work in the morning and get that lift, or play it in their office. A lot of people do that. A lot of offices are playing it, where let's all get on the same mindset here. Let's get our minds right. But I cover a wide range of topics, everything from physical well-being to emotional well-being to setting your goals to seeing your self image in a better way, and it's really basically exactly what I did with myself to turn my life around back then.
Okay.
Because I was headed in the wrong direction. And this is what this book and this pattern is what I did to change my life. And in fact, I wrote a notebook with all of these things in it and sent it out to my three sisters after our mother died, and said, take a look at this. What do you think? This is what's really helping me. It's really helping from all of this stuff. And they read it. They said, put this into a little booklet. We have friends that want it. I've already made too many copies. You've got to do more. So I created 2,000 of these and sent about 4 or 5 to each sister. And they came back and said, more, more, more. And really, in about a month and a half, I received letters from all over the place, even Canada and England, telling me that this book had changed their lives.
Well,
and I'm
cool.
Thinking, how did it get there?
Yeah.
I have no idea how it found its way there. So it really, I think, when we talk about some books are inspired, I know this book was inspired because I wasn't in the mood to write it at the time. And as I was writing it, I was lifting up and lifting up and lifting up. And then as I went through it again, I went on to a new level. And then again, I went on to another level. I had a young man come up to me at a conference where I was speaking, and he showed me his copy of his book. And he had marked it with 6 different colors of highlighter. And the entire book was marked up with all these different colors of highlighter. And he said, I need a new one, but this one I will keep forever because it has turned my life from the worst possible nightmare into absolute wonderful, bliss, prosperity. I'm doing things I never believed I could do. And so I think that all of us need guidelines. Everybody needs to find it somewhere. Sure. But it needs to be daily, and it needs to be continuous. It can't be a haphazard thing. Just like when I started running a few weeks ago, months ago, sorry, it just hit me that I wanted to run, and my feet wanted to be happy. And I just started running. I didn't do it right because I didn't warm up to the 3 miles. I just started doing 3 miles. And I listened to my body. Some days it's rare that it just wants to walk the whole time, but most of the time I'm running at least 7/8 of it. And I've been doing it daily, and I cannot tell you what it has done for the quickness and sharpness of my mind. When in this time of year with sometimes there's pollens around, I'm a little hazier. Well, I'm back to me, and I don't take any kind of drug to stop that. You know, nothing prescription or over the counter, nothing. Cool. So it really has helped with my energy, with my everything in my life, and I don't know how much it has contributed to all of these other things, as I was saying, quantum leaping. Mm-hmm. But I know that it's part of it. I mean, not to mention, I started this 3 months ago. I've dropped 2 dress sizes and more. that wasn't the main reason for doing it, but it certainly has been a great side benefit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let me ask you this. You were just talking about the quantum leaping. There's basically 5 steps to making a quantum leap. Can you share with us what those are?
Yes. First, you've got to set your dream, set your plan, put that in place. Second, you need to work on how you get yourself to believe in that. And there's many different methods to doing that. You may have heard of some of them. One is called affirming, making a positive statement about it. That's how you get it in gear. And third, what you need to do is work on your self-image. Lift it up, clean it up, forgive yourself, forgive everybody else, and that's going to help for you. There's a method of looking at yourself that I've developed over time that I can't go into right now because it's actually 12 different steps, 12 different pieces. And we call that self-esteem, but really it needs to be taken apart and looked at very, very closely. And I'll tell you what the first step is. The first step is self-acceptance, being able to say and really feel these words, I have done the best I could with the information and the energy I had to get to where I am. And then you say, and I can only start from here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some people, that's the frustration. They want to start from elsewhere.
Yeah, let me just expand on that a little bit, because as you know, most of our listeners are either the real estate investors or many of them haven't done anything yet. And mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is always, well, you know, I haven't bought a house and so on and so forth. And that's usually where the excuse starts. But you got to, I mean, like you said, you've got to start with where you're at. So for those folks, how do they do that? How do they get in that mindset?
One of the pieces is setting that goal starts to get a feeling going of being new. Because the fourth step in what I'm about to tell you is that you need to put yourself into training, almost like you're in Olympic training. Okay. Now, if you're in Olympic training and you've never been at the Olympics before, you've never bought a house before, what you need to do is ask yourself, what is it that is maybe, first of all, what are my strengths? And write those down. What are my strengths? Well, I've accomplished things before. Make a list of all the things you have done in your life. Build up your power. Get underway. Get your steam going. Then decide all the things that contribute to your energy. And those things could be physically, and certainly those things are emotionally and mentally. You have to begin building a new image of yourself. That is part of that preparation. It's part of the Olympic training. A kid who's never been in the Olympics before must set about to see himself or herself as someone who could win a gold medal. Well, they've never done that before. So itty-bitty step, you start seeing and this is the fifth step, mm-hmm. You start seeing with your imagination. See yourself buying that first house and doing with it what you want to do with it. If your plan is to rehab it, see yourself doing it in under 3 weeks. And if it's to flip it, then after you're done with the rehab, that a buyer is waiting, a buyer is ready. Picture that in your mind. Try it out, then repeat it, and repeat it again, and repeat it again. And if it's the plan is to rent it out, see it rented before you have finished doing some of the updating. So what you have to do is see an image in your mind of the way you want it to be. Now, for a lot of people, they say, this is really difficult. I don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. Say, can you think about what happened to you yesterday? Well, yeah. It's the same mechanism. You see it in color, and you see moving pictures, and you see a little clip of your life. And what I recommend really heartily is that you just see a piece of it. Ask yourself, what does it look like when I'm handing the keys over? What does it look like? What is the picture? Here I am. I'm handing the keys over to this young couple. I'm handing the keys over to this single mother. I'm handing the keys over to, ooh, and then you start feeling it. And that's where you get your real power. Because when you start feeling what it'll feel like, and then you look down at that check, and the check is written to you where you know you are going to clear at least $17,000, if not $22,000, you can actually write yourself a check, a pretend check, that says $23,000, and you write in a little note at the bottom, my first sale, or my first flip, or whatever you want to write there. Make it as real as you can, because the purpose of that is not to fool yourself into not doing anything. It's to spur yourself into daring to take action, because what I see with so many new real estate investors, and as you know, I'm a member of Georgia REIA, mm-hmm. and in fact, I'm speaking there, but that is what people do very often, is they will talk themselves out of something that their gut is saying, go ahead with, go forward with. Part of self-esteem is self-trust. So as you get your self-image stronger and healthier, you start to recognize when it's your gut talking and when it's your fear talking. Your gut might say, no, 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 this isn't right. Or your fear might say, yo, I'm afraid, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I really don't know. I've got all the books and the tapes and everything, but I'm afraid to step forward. Well, that's the time when you say, okay, I'm going to calm down the little me of me, and the bigger, stronger, more informed me, the one that I've been training and educating, is going to step forward, and I'm going to trust my gut, and I'm going to believe that I can do this, and I'm going to see myself in my imagination first. I'm going to pave the way with that imagination, and that will make it far easier to happen, because now I'm feeling more powerful. Now I'm feeling smarter. Now I'm feeling like, oh, I know who to call. Instead of saying, oh, I don't know who to call. I don't know what to do. You forget everything you know from those books and tapes when the time comes to actually do a deal.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You say, whoa, wait a minute. What's the first thing? Well, hey, go back to the tapes or just get calm. Because when you get calm, you will remember what you know. And I really know that when you trust yourself, you do follow it. When you get excited, you get excited, and you couple that with your education. Go into that house. If the wall looks thin, see if a screwdriver goes through it. You know, I mean, you have to do your basics. I was excited about a house, and then I went over and looked at it again, and guess what? A huge tree had fallen on the back deck. I mean, this is a 200-year-old tree had fallen on the back deck. And I'm thinking, I was too excited about this. I really hadn't done my homework on it. I had not taken a screwdriver around the house. And so the universe made sure I wouldn't buy it. It doesn't always work that way. Yeah. But I know that our intuition, also our guidance, our inner guidance, can lead us. We are getting little hints that say, this is the right house. This is the right house. This will be a good investment.
Gotcha. So
stepping up to the plate. Those are the five steps. But
okay. Set
the very first one. You know, I see people in this economy, and they'll use it as an excuse not to set any plan. I mean, you didn't hear Richard Branson, the founder of Virgin Airlines, Virgin Records, Virgin Cola, everything Virgin. You didn't hear Richard Branson say, ooh, I think I'll wait to see how the economy goes before I launch this airline.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So he said, I'm going to see how I can make the most of this. I'm going to start with what it needs right now, and what a great time to buy.
So the people that are thinking about real estate investing now and are using the excuse, the market looks like it's going down, they're just going to lose out, aren't they?
Well, you know, and there will be the right house. But what's so funny to me is there are always new buyers coming into the marketplace. There are always new renters coming into the marketplace. There are couples getting married. There are kids graduating from college. There are kids getting out of high school. There are people buying houses coming up. They grow. They become 25. They become 24. They become 28. They become 30, and they want to be in a house. They want to have their own condo. Whatever it is, the marketplace just keeps expanding.
That's excellent. So before we get off the phone today, I just want to talk a little bit about your PBS special. Because
yes.
That's pretty exciting, isn't it? It is to me, at least.
It is really, really exciting. And by the way, I forgot to mention that my website is www.lifecraft. It's L-I-F-E.
Okay.
K. It's K-R-A-F-T.
Okay.
Lifecraft with a K.com. And you can see things about 30 Days to Happiness and my time on Oprah and all of that stuff.
Okay.
And the PBS special is called The Myths of Happiness. And that's where I go after some of these things we say in our society that we heard growing up that we didn't question. And there, some of them are questions and some of them are statements, but they are all bad for us. And I teach how to turn it around, the myths of happiness. And the debut airing of it is December 3rd at 5 o'clock on WPBA, which is the other PBS station in Atlanta, WPBA Channel 30. It's in Atlanta, and it's all over northern Georgia into North and South Carolina a little bit.
Okay.
And it can be seen again at December 3rd at 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Then they'll play it again later that night around 10 or 10:30, and then they'll be playing it a couple more times, but they haven't set that on the schedule yet. And then we are actually going to film a new PBS television special in March. And I am if people want to be in that audience, please email me and let me know you'd like to be there. So I will let you know when it's happening and where it is and sign you up to be in the audience.
Okay. And your email address is?
It's Leah, L-I-A-H. It's a really different spelling of Leah, L-I-A-H, at Lifecraft. lifecraft.com.
And we'll put links for your website and your email on our website also, Leah.
Excellent, excellent. I am so thrilled to have been with you today.
Yeah, it's been fun.
And before we wrap up here, I just want to say for those people that aren't in the North Georgia area, they need to check with their local PBS stations for the Myths of Happiness, because I'm sure some other ones will pick it up too.
Well, Lynn, thank you for mentioning that, because in January it is starting nationwide, and each PBS market is by itself. It's going to be in the Arizona area in January and March.
Okay.
And call your local PBS station and say, get the Myths of Happiness here. We want to see it.
Okay. Excellent. Well, Leah, I, if you're okay with this, we were talking about it, and going into January, that's the time of year for real estate investors and a lot of people where they just want to kick things off. And I think your Quantum Leap program is something that would be very useful. Would you like to come back in January and do our Spotlight on Education?
I would love it.
Okay.
I would love it. Thank you, Judson. I would really love to be there.
Yes. Sure. Well, we'll just let everybody know, and they can keep their eye out in January when that comes up and really get involved in it and really kick off their investing for the new year.
Excellent. Well, thank you again.
Sure.
This has just been a delight.
Yeah, we've had a great time.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it.
That's great information. Thanks, Leah.
Thank you. Have a marvelous day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And now it's time for our Dare to be Dumb segment. Nice.
Yeah.
That screams professional.
Yeah, well, we didn't spend a lot of time on music this week, apparently.
I guess not. Let's talk about one of the things we did this week, and it was a house we went to look at.
Uh-huh.
It was that was given to us by a wholesaler.
Right.
You know, just because we spend money on marketing doesn't mean we can't get deals from other people.
Right.
If they work and they make us money.
Right. If the numbers work, and we'll take it from a wholesaler too.
Yeah, and this time of year, if it's a number that works and it's something we can use, we'll take it, because we're looking for stuff you know, going into the spring.
Yeah, this is the time when we buy so that we have stuff ready for that's rehabbed and ready to go in the spring. Yep. So
let's talk about this house a little bit. It's like a 2,000 square foot house, a little bit under that.
Mm-hmm.
3-bedroom, 2.5 bath.
Right.
Need some work.
It was built in 92.
Yeah, it's in a decent neighborhood. So it's near a brand new mall.
Yep.
We thought we'd go take a look at it because of that.
Then we got to do some shopping.
That's right, because it's Christmas time. So you work it all together.
Yeah. So fixed up this house. We looked at the numbers ourselves before we went. Fixed up. Yep. It should be worth, should sell for about $140,000 right now.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this.
Okay.
The after repair value is like $140,000,
$145,000.
Okay. The question is would it actually sell?
Right.
And so, you know, a lot of times we talk about stuff, and I don't want to steal Pete's thunder next week when he's talking about how you estimate repairs and that kind of stuff, or how you get estimates for repairs.
Right.
But I will tell you that we went back through and we did the numbers ourselves as far as the repairs, and the person wholesaling had said that the repairs were like $12,000.
Right.
I did the numbers. I came up with like 11. If I had our regular 15%, that's 13.
Yeah.
You know, that's well within range to get within $1,000. So that made sense. So once you get through the what they were asking for, plus the repairs versus that after repair value of 145, it was like 73%.
Okay.
Which is not bad.
Not bad at all.
You know, a $145,000 house, that's decent equity.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, we looked at it and said, okay, that's not a bad deal.
Right.
But when you get into the deal, the question is what are you going to do with it when you're done?
Right, because you got to know your exit strategy going in.
Right. And, you know, you look at it, it's a newer neighborhood.
Right.
Across from a mall.
Right.
So you're like, well, I'll fix it up and I'll sell it and I'll make $30,000+
on it. Right. And that was our thought before we went and drove the neighborhood and went and checked things out.
Yeah. And that's the other half of, you know, everybody's always worried about getting the ARVs and stuff like that, getting the comps. That's great. Those are all hard numbers.
Right.
But you need to look at a few other things, and we won't go into extreme detail here, but there's other things you have to look at. And in our case, one of the things we wanted to know is, will the house sell?
Right. And part of that, you look at how many other houses in the immediate neighborhood are for sale, and what's the kind of the condition of the neighborhood.
Yeah. And the neighborhood was in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
It was a smaller little inlet subdivision right there that was built 15 years ago.
Right.
And you know, what you figure about 25 houses in there?
Yeah, 30. 25, 30, something like that.
Yeah, well, there's right next to it, there's three of them for sale.
Right.
The only three in the subdivision, but they were all right next to this house.
Right.
So, you know, that's a concern. There's a little competition right when they get in there.
And the other thing was, is that when we were driving into this subdivision, there was about a dozen builder signs right out there at the main road.
Yeah, a lot of new construction subdivisions going in.
So you're going to be competing with the builder still.
Yep. And we drove around some of those.
Mm-hmm.
The first concern I had was that it's a new construction subdivision.
Right.
It was probably the one we went to was about a third of the way built out.
Right. This was the next subdivision over.
The new one.
Right.
It was about a third of the way built out and a whole bunch of for sale signs.
Right.
But not for sale by the builder. These are individuals selling their homes. So that tells me that there's probably folks that are in trouble that owe at least what it's worth and they can't sell it.
Right.
Because sooner or later, those houses are going to sit.
Right.
If they're for sale and they're still 60% of the subdivision is still available to get a brand new house, why are you going to buy the one that somebody already beat up and the kids spit up on the floor?
Yeah, and lived in.
Yeah.
When you can have the brand new one.
Yeah, so that says to me, I'd be concerned in that area about just buying that house, fixing it up, and selling it tomorrow.
Right.
I mean, maybe somebody's really good at marketing and they can do a great job, but we aren't. we got a very good house in a good neighborhood and we've done a good job with it. Maybe we can sell it.
Right.
So, you know, we looked at that and factored it in and said, you know, this isn't going to sell right away.
No.
There's no reason for it to sell right away.
Not when there's other ones out here that are equally as nice and comparably priced.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be a horse apiece on those.
Right. So what we decided if we were to take this house, first of all, I wouldn't pay as much for it, but is doing a rent-to-own. A lease option.
Right.
Like Andy was talking about a little while back. And the reason behind that is we drove around the neighborhood also looking, and there were no rent to own signs.
Right. Nothing for rent there.
Right. So now we have a desirable neighborhood mm-hmm. with new construction. So people are driving down that street all the time going to look at a new house, right? Mm-hmm. So who are these people? They're home buyers.
They're home buyers, right.
And they're going to go and look at the new house, and they're going to fall in love with it. And they're going to be thinking about all the great things they're going to do with it. And then they're going to find out there's no way they can buy that house because the lender's not going to give them money.
Right.
And they're stuck. So now they're already in the mood to buy a house, though.
Right.
And they see the rent-to-own sign or the lease option sign. And now they have an opportunity to buy a house without having to deal with the mortgage broker today.
Without having to sign the paperwork today.
Yeah.
Right.
And somebody else has already pre-qualified them for us. Because if the builder told them no, they're going to know why. So they can tell us, well, we can't buy today because.
But we could buy in this amount of time. Because a lot of right. times the builders will tell them that too.
Yeah, but they don't want to wait that time to buy. They want to buy now.
Right.
So now here we are with qualified people that are people that have been pre-qualified.
Right.
That are looking at that exact neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we think a good rent to own there.
Right.
At the same time, you know, it's a good neighborhood. You're going to get a good clientele in there.
Right.
Maybe 150 in a lot of parts of the country that are listening to this are going to say, wow, that's a steal.
That's
not much money. That must be a crack neighborhood or something. But
that's
not here.
Not the case.
No. It's a good single family home
right.
neighborhood here right. without a lot of rentals. So I think that's why that would be the best opportunity with that property.
Right. And it is desirable because it's near the mall. It's near the interstate. And it's just a good, decent neighborhood. So.
Yep. That's what we did with that one. And it's hopefully that's a good lesson for everybody is don't just look at the numbers on that house. Look at the whole area
right.
and figure out what you can and can't do with it.
Right. And we kind of said that, you know, for us, this is the time to be buying. And mm-hmm. that's because now, if we buy now, the banks are trying to get rid of stuff before the end of the year.
Right.
And so they're willing to take more of a discount or at least entertain more offers. And that if we buy them now, it gives us this time, December, January, to get them fixed up so that they're ready to go for when people start getting their income tax returns back in February and March, because for a lot of people, that's the only time that they're going to have that hunk of cash to be able to put down to buy or to do lease options. So this is the time when we really want to be acquiring stuff to have ready.
Yeah, because in 3 months from now is when we'll probably be ready to sell it.
Right.
At least 3-4 months.
Right.
And that's when the market around here in a lot of parts of the country is going to be hot, especially
right.
for lease options.
Right. Once it starts to warm up, and that is going to depend on your part of the country, but as it starts to warm up, that's when people really start to think about doing those kinds of things again. So getting out and looking at houses. So that's our plan with that.
Yep. So our website of the week this week is?
I don't remember.
Oh. It was like 3 minutes ago, I told you.
No, it wasn't, because we've been talking for more than 3 minutes.
It's www.realfacts.com. That's realfacts.com. And Real Facts is really more designed to cater to apartment building owners, mm-hmm. but I think most people with rentals can use them.
Right.
The first thing they have is when you go to their site, they have a bunch of news stories about what's going on in the rental market. So that's important.
That, mm-hmm.
you know, good free information to see what the trends are.
Sure.
But then you can also purchase reports from them
mm-hmm.
that will give you an idea of what the rents are doing in the area, going up, going down, based on an individual property, what the going rate is for comparable properties in that area.
Okay.
Or if you just want to see a general area, a city or, you know, a neighborhood
zip code kind of thing.
They'll do reports like that too, so you can get an idea.
Okay.
So everybody that wants to know, how do I find out what the rent is in my neighborhood? You know, we've talked about going to a realtor and asking them or a property manager,
mm-hmm.
but this is an opportunity also. I don't remember exactly what they charged. It seemed like it was between $25 and $75 for a report, depending on what you wanted.
Right. But it seemed like there were some that were less expensive than that, but I don't remember exactly what those reports were giving you. So you can go and check it out and see, because they have sample reports of everything out there.
Yeah, you can look at a PDF of all of them. And even if you don't use a report, it's a great spot for, you know, plugging into rental news.
Sure.
And getting information there.
All right. Let's just take a minute here and remind everybody that with our Christmas show coming up, we want to feature some nonprofit type organizations that deal with housing. Right. And we're looking for suggestions on organizations that we can interview. Yep. The one that we keep throwing out there as an example is Habitat for Humanity, because everybody's familiar with how that one works and what's involved with that.
But somebody sent us an email this week from Warwick Dunn.
Yeah.
He's a running back for the Falcons.
Yeah.
He always gives away a house, and he does stuff where he gives people money, and Lynn is trying to bite her tongue because as a Panther fan, she's not real excited.
Can't
about
be a fan of the Falcons. Sorry, but all you anyways, Atlanta people.
Anyways, Warwick does a nice thing.
And, he gives good things.
He gives away a house a year. Plus, he helps people with down payment assistance and buying furniture. So, anyways, any charity like that, if you know somebody that does something like that, let us know, and we'll try to get them on. We're just going to do a whole show to give you guys an idea of what's out there as far as charity opportunities, right, whether it's money or sweat equity and time and stuff like that, to help people out. So that's going to be our Christmas show. Right. So just email us any ideas you've got for that.
All right. And also want to remind everybody again to go and sign up for our email list so that you get the automatic notifications, mm-hmm, of new shows and all of our freebies that are out there.
And send us, if you have any questions, comments, any show ideas that you'd like to hear about in the future. We're scheduling out, you know, our middle, end of January, February shows now. Mm-hmm. So if you've got any ideas what you'd like to know about kicking off into 2007 for your real estate investing, let us know that.
Right.
We'll get people on to do that.
And one more reminder. I guess we got a couple more. The first one is to be sure to let your friends and buddies who also are involved in real estate investing know about this show so that we can all gain more information and share with a bigger growing crowd. And then remind everybody, the final reminder is next week, no regular show, but we will have the Spotlight on Education show with Pete Youngs, and it is going to be very entertaining and informational because that's just the way Pete is. He's a fun guy.
Yep. Pete's going to talk about saving 50 to 75% on your rehabs, finding contractors, and really putting your projects together.
And finding contractors involving donuts.
Yeah. You really need to look forward to that and really get involved in that process too.
Right.
So anyways, until next week, and first of all, and have a happy Thanksgiving. Make sure you
get real.